that rain. We're not necessarily finished with it yet. Good morning. Welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on September 23rd, 2021. I'm Andy Eubank. The HAT Podcast, brought to you each weekday by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has that updated forecast. It does include a dry weekend. We have another yield check, this one from West Central Indiana, and a bump in the markets yesterday. Analysis on the way. The news is next on the HAT Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
More yield results coming in and ASF in Haiti. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. More yield numbers are coming in, even with combines parked right now. Andy Eubank has the update.
In a West Central Indiana yield check, early harvest corn and soybean numbers are promising. As local field sales representative Eric Warnoff at Specialty Hybrid says, farmers had poked around in corn and buzzed right through early planted beans before several days of rainfall arrived. Now, he says,
guys want to get back in and get this done because we all know that plant health out there on the corn especially is going to struggle the more weather we get on it. There's some huge yields out there. We have got into from our 97-day corns all the way up to our 114-day corns. And this new germplasm that we've launched here in the last 2 years has just been phenomenal. Very, very pleased. Early reports have been, 220 to 285 field averages, dry corn, and way above expectation.
On the bean side, there were a lot of early beans planted, and Warnoff says most all of those have been harvested.
When we looked at our 2403s and our 2504s, when we basically draw a line from Indianapolis straight to the Illinois line, we've seen some phenomenal yields on the low yield environment farms or the just the tougher acre. We're seeing high 50s, low 60s, and on the real high productivity soils, we're seeing anything from 72 to 84.
Warnoff did note that corn ear weights have been variable and there are some issues.
My experience in this early part of harvest has been if there's moisture in the corn, you're going to have great yields. If you're shelling some corn that's 15, 17, or 19, right now, that's a fuller season, 110 and higher, then you might be seeing a lower test weight. And the best test weights I've heard so far have been in that 56, 56 and a half, but there's a whole bunch of 54s out there, and some are actually less, depending on how much disease was out there, as well as how much variability there is from fence row to fence row.
There's much more with Eric Warnoff in the full HAT yield check interview at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
African swine fever is continuing its spread. The World Organization for Animal Health this week confirmed finding ASF in Haiti. Haiti borders the Dominican Republic, which confirmed the virus was in country this summer. USDA continues work to keep ASF out of the U.S. Last week, USDA issued a federal order suspending interstate movement of all live swine and swine products from Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands to the mainland United States. But what's at stake if ASF is found in the U.S.? Dr. Patrick Webb, Director of Swine Health with the National Pork Board, says in 2021, the U.S. is exporting 26.6% of its pork to other countries at over a $58 per head value. That would all come to a stop if one case of ASF were found in the U.S. It wouldn't matter if it were a feral pig, backyard pig, or part of a commercial herd.
It really doesn't matter who has the pig. That one case is going to affect our trade. And that is some significant losses.
There was a study done recently by Iowa State University on the potential impacts of ASF.
That study basically told us as an industry that if we can control an outbreak and our exports would come back within 2 years after that first case, we would see $15 billion in lost revenue, but we wouldn't see much contraction of the industry.
But many experts believe it would take much longer than 2 years to eradicate the disease and open up exports again. If it took 10 years.
We're talking $50 billion in lost revenue and 140,000 lost jobs and significant contraction of the industry.
Which would be a major hit to not only pork producers, but the U.S. economy. ASF resources are available on the USDA APHIS website and at porkcheckoff.org. You can find a link to both at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. Low pressure doing a little curlicue out of Ohio and across parts of southeast Michigan. Long story short, the low is not moving very quickly away to the north and east, and because of that, we're continuing to see wraparound backside moisture here today across parts of the state. I think the biggest threat and the heaviest moisture out of this wraparound action is already done. It happened late yesterday into last night, but we'll continue to see showers linger here that can bring another quarter to three quarters of an inch from areas. Well, I'm going to draw the line from right around Lake County, Gary, Michigan City area, up in that general ballpark, down to about Richmond. Go north and east of that line, you're going to be seeing lingering showers today. The rest of the state probably doesn't deal with much at all. Could even see partly to mostly sunny skies emerge in the southwest Indiana before the day is done. We turn out sunny and dry everywhere for your Friday. And then we're still going to be dealing with the cool air, but our next frontal boundary works its way in for Saturday, likely overnight Friday night through Saturday morning to midday. At this point, this front could bring anywhere from a tenth to four-tenths of an inch to about 75-80% of Indiana. Southern quarter of the state likely getting nothing. The rest of us will see something. Even if you only see minor moisture, the clouds that are around and the threat of moisture means we have no drying for a good chunk of at least the first half of Saturday. Maybe we see clouds break for sunshine mid to late afternoon. I think that leads to a dry finish to the weekend on Sunday. Temperatures trying to moderate. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week. Let's go all the way through. We are dry. No new precipitation. We'll see temperatures trying to warm through most of that period. I do think we suffer a little bit of a setback. Slightly cooler air at midweek, probably Wednesday into Thursday, but it's only a short-term pullback. The rest of that period will be warm and dry, and to me, it looks like it is going to stay that way even as we move into the extended forecast window. As I take a look back out and look back to the western United States upstream, only a minor disturbance coming through Nebraska and Kansas on Saturday the 2nd. And at this point, it looks like that system may be trying to dive just a little bit farther south. So we'll keep an eye on that, but I do think we see good evaporation, good dry down through most of next week, and we should be able to get back into the fields. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Commodities and equities, a nice Wednesday bounce. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and the review is brought to you by CoAlliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. Corn, soybeans, and wheat all enjoyed a higher move on Wednesday. Numbers coming up, first market analysis, and I got that from Tom Fritz in Chicago at EFG Group right at the end of trade. Tom, a positive move in the grain markets, a slow start, but then the markets after about the middle of trade took off in the case of corn, soybeans, and wheat. Strength coming from what all directions?
Andy, I think if you look at the grain markets in general, they were firming since last night. There's a number of reasons behind it. Lately it seems like our corn market has been tied to the crude oil market. Well, crude oil market came bouncing back after its recent 2-3 day correction. But more importantly, and this is my opinion, 2 weeks ago we started hearing about tar spot disease. And most people were downplaying it. And, from what I understand on the disease, about the disease, that it's debilitating to the corn plant. And it can impact yields of, anywhere from 20, 30, 40 bushels to the acre. Well, it seems like the media is getting hold of this. And, it used to be private talk, chatter among the farmers. And now I'm seeing it more and more in the media. And I think that has the trade thinking, the spec trade thinking, maybe our yields aren't as great as we originally thought. As recently as 2 weeks ago. So I think that's getting some of the play. Now, we did have a midday hiccup here. The EPA is out flapping its gums again, making proposals about lowering biofuel blending obligations for 2020, 21, and 22. That gave us a midday hiccup, but, you know, the market came bouncing right back. So, you know, I think it was, a, you know, from a technical standpoint, a very impressive performance. You know, maybe, you know, I'm out in left field with this, but I'm getting the idea that, you know, this tar spot disease, and I saw a map on it earlier this morning. You know, most of my feedback comes from Illinois farmers, and, yeah, some of them have been reporting it, but the map looks like it's more prevalent in your state of Indiana, southern Michigan, and Wisconsin. Yeah, Illinois's got smatterings of it. Iowa's got smatterings of it, but it seems to be much more prevalent in Indiana, call it southern Michigan and parts of western Ohio. So, but you know, once it gets in the media, you know, the specs grab hold of it and away we go. And so I think that was a good part of today's trade, as well as the wheat market being as strong as it is. I only saw one item impacting the wheat market. Once again, a major importer of wheat, Pakistan. Pakistan just finished up a tender of 500,000 tons, and they announced a new tender for 650,000 tons. So it seems like whenever the wheat market, or I should say wheat futures in this case, have any type of downturn, you know, call it a correction, if you will, I see major importers come, you know, come into the global market for new ownership. So, you know, the wheat market, you know, it's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, at the end of the month on the 30th, along with the stocks report, we're going to see small grains production updates. And those small grains are going to include wheat production as well as harvested acres. And I'll add one more to that, oats. Oats were limit up today. Oats have been very, very strong since the Canadian production report of, what was it, a week ago. And, you know, that was a, you know, call it a spur for the wheat market. But then wheat had a little bit of a correction. And, you know, here comes the wheat market bouncing right back. So I think the wheat market still has plenty of get up and go to it as we progress through the marketing season. Soybeans, you know, yesterday, soybean meal trying to do something, prompts soybeans to rally a little bit. Today it was bean oil's turn. Bean oil gets a boost from the higher energy markets, gets a boost from a higher palm oil market. Palm oil, they tell me, was up, what, the percentage gain on the day was the biggest they've seen in 6 weeks. That's hard to ignore. So, you know, the biodiesel demand hasn't gone away, despite what the EPA says. When the EPA announcement came out this morning, bean oil broke 200 points. And here we are, we got it all back, just like the corn market did. Corn market broke 7 cents off its highs on that announcement. And, you know, here's corn back within a penny of its highs. So, you know, it tells me these markets are on solid ground, that, you know, the yields may not be as good as, you know, we thought. And, you know, demand, well, you know, we could do with some better demand across the board for whether it be corn, wheat, or soybeans. Now, soybeans, China's back from holiday after being gone Monday, Tuesday. So the trade's thinking, you know, we should start seeing some daily announced sales. You know, right now, all our markets are putting in just really good-looking technical performances.
So does that suggest, in your mind, it could continue on into Thursday?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, yeah, we might see a little bit of a correction in the night session from, I'll call it a short-term overbought, if you will. You know, call it from the day traders. But, you know, tomorrow's weekly export sales. Not looking for big numbers, but, you know, some of the stories that we had today, these stories, they're not just a one-day sensation. You know, I think this disease that we're talking about in the corn, is going to have people thinking about lower yields all the way up to the October production report. Now, when I say lower yields, I'm talking about yields not as great as we've been thinking over the last couple of weeks, you know, since the September production report. You know, people say, well, the trend is if the yield in September is going to be up, October is going to be up. Well, maybe not so. The wheat market, as I said, it's not going away anytime soon. And, well, soybeans, yeah, we need the Chinese demand. You know, hopefully it returns. I know China, you know, during the blip from Hurricane Ida, we saw China buy a lot of Brazilian beans. But I'm also told those are optional origin. So, you know, maybe those will get canceled and they'll come back to the U.S. Don't know that for sure. But, you know, right now, you know, I get the impression that our markets are on solid footing, at least for the near term.
Tom Fritz at EFG Group. Now the Wednesday settlements, 525.5 December corn. It picked up 8.5 cents. The March contract gained 8 at 533. May 537.5, up 7.5. In beans, Novi, 12.82¾, up 8¾. January, 9 cents up at 12.91¾. And Chicago, December wheat, 7.05¾, up 15.5 cents. Livestock ended mixed. December live cattle, 128.55, up 75. And December lean hogs, down 22 cents at 73.37. You're up to date now on the markets, plus hat news and weather on the podcast for the 23rd of September, 2021. And the Hat Podcast is presented each weekday by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Have a great Thursday from all of us at Hat, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.